A budget surplus. The second financial choice is to plan for a budget surplus. After making money, financial IQ number one, and protecting your money, financial IQ number two, learning how to budget for a surplus is essential for achieving financial integrity. The following are a number of lessons I have learned from my rich dad and other wealthy people about budgeting for a budget surplus. Budget tip number one. A budget surplus is an expense. This is one of the best financial lessons my rich dad passed on to his son and me. Pointing to the financial statement, he said, "You have to make a surplus an expense." In Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I wrote about the importance of paying yourself first. Most people know they should save, tithe, and invest. The problem is, after paying their expenses, most people don't have any money left to do so. In other words, most of the middle class's financial priorities are: priority number one, get a high-paying job. Priority number two, make the mortgage and car payments. Priority number three, pay bills on time. Priority number four, save, tithe, and invest. In other words, paying themselves first is their last priority. In order to create a budget surplus, a surplus must be a priority. The best way to make a surplus a priority is to reprioritize your spending habits. Make saving, tithing, and investing at least priority number two, and list them as an expense on your financial statement. I know most of you can agree with the logic of what I am saying and agree that people need to make saving, tithing, and investing a higher priority. I also know this is easier said than done, so let me tell you how Kim and I handled this problem. Soon after we were married, we had the same financial problems many newlyweds have. We had more expenses than income. To solve this problem, we hired Betty the bookkeeper. Betty was instructed to take 30% of all income off the top as an expense and put that money in the asset column. Using simple numbers as an example, if we had $1,000 in income and $1,500 in expenses, Betty was to take 30% of the $1,000 and put that money in the asset column. With the remaining $700, she was to pay the $1,500 in expenses. Betty nearly died. She thought we were nuts. She said, "You can't do that. You have bills to pay." She almost quit. You see, Betty was a great bookkeeper, but she budgeted like a poor person. She paid everyone else first and herself last. Since there was rarely anything left over, she paid herself nothing. Her creditors, the government, and bankers were all more important than Betty. Betty argued and fought. All of her training told her to pay everyone else first. The thought of not paying her bills or taxes made her weak in the knees. I finally got her to understand she was doing us a favor. She was helping us out. I explained to her that she was helping us solve a very big problem, the problem of not having enough money. And as you know, solving problems make us smarter. When she understood she was actually creating income through expense, she was willing to go along with our plan to create a budget surplus. For every dollar of income, Betty would take 30 cents and put it in savings, tithing, and investing. With the 70 cents from every dollar left, she was to pay taxes, liabilities such as our mortgage and car payments, and then our bills such as electricity, water, food, etc. Needless to say, for a long time we came up short every month. There were some months Kim and I came up as much as $4,000 short. We could have paid the $4,000 from our assets, but that was our money. The asset column belonged to us. Instead of panicking, Betty was instructed to sit down with us and let us know how short we were each month. After taking a deep breath, Kim and I would then say, "It's time to get back to financial IQ number one, making more money." With that, Kim and I would hustle around doing whatever we could to make more money. Kim, with her marketing background, often called businesses and offered to consult with them on their marketing plans. She also took modeling jobs and sold a line of clothes. I offered to teach investment or sales and marketing classes. For a few months, I trained sales teams at a local real estate company. I even made money by helping a family move and by clearing some land for another family. In other words, we swallowed our pride and did whatever it took to make the extra money. Somehow we always made it, and somehow Betty stuck with us and assisted us with our problem, solution, and process, even though she worried more about us than we did. Unfortunately, Betty could help us, but was unwilling to help herself. Last we heard, she retired and moved in with her single daughter. They share expenses, using Betty's payments from Social Security to pay them. They do not have a budget surplus. In 1989, Kim purchased her first rental property. She put down $5,000 and made $25 in positive cash flow per month. Today, Kim controls a multi-million-dollar portfolio and over 1,000 rental units. If we had not made investing an expense and paid ourselves first, we might still be paying everyone else first.